Hello, welcome back to another 15-minute teaching of the verse-by-verse Bible teaching. My name is Matthew Bonona, and along with my wife, Victoria, we own and operate the Wash and Word Hand Car Wash. You know us over there in the Palace Shopping Center on Highway 11W in Churchill, and you probably may or may not know, but you can hear verse-by-verse Bible teaching emanating from this building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All you got to do is tune to 107.1 FM on your car radio, and you can hear these messages all day, every day. We don't have to be open. You don't have to be getting your car washed. We play them on a loop over a small radio FM transmitter, and that's why we created this car wash, because we looked around and we said, you know what? We don't need another church. We need more of the Word of God. Now, that's what this world needs. And so we don't cherry pick God's word. We don't pick and choose what we're going to do. We do it verse by verse. This way you hear everything you need to hear and everything God intended for us to hear. Now we're getting back to our scriptures. If you missed any of our teachings, they've been really tied together over the last 8 or 10 teachings. That's the way 1 John kind of runs as a letter. So being that we're in 1 John chapter 3, if you missed any of the one, you can go to washandword.com. That's wash, the letter N, word.com. And you can download and listen to all of our messages for free by clicking on the media tab while you're there. All right, so let's get back into it. A couple messages ago, we read verses 11 through 24. And we said that this was the litmus test of our relationship with God. And that whole section, verse 11 through 24, is all about loving one another, showing love to our brothers, to our sisters, to our enemies, to our fellow man. And we began talking about love in our last message. If you remember, I read that poem, and it talked about different acts and deeds that we can do to show love. And certainly there's an endless list of things we can do. But see, we don't want to focus on individual acts of love. While there's nothing wrong with that, we could spend so much time and it would probably end up leading us into side roads we don't really want to go down. So like a water leak, you don't just fix a water leak by putting a bucket under the drip. You figure out where the source is. And so if we were to go to the source of loving one another, we might say something along these lines. If you want to show more love, then you need more power. And you also need more of Jesus in your lives. So, again, we could focus on doing individual acts of love, or we can go to the source. And the source of love is Jesus Christ. And the ability to love comes from the power of the Holy Spirit within us. So in order to show more love, we need to have more power. And in order to have more power, we need to have more of Jesus in our lives. Now, does that mean we can get saved again or get saved higher? No. We have as much of the Spirit and as much of Jesus in us as we're ever going to have the moment we are saved. What happens from there is up to us. It's a well that we can tap into, a bank account of immeasurable numbers that we have access to if only we would align ourselves with the will of God and the Word of God. And the more we align our lives with the will and Word of God, the more of the Spirit's power can flow through us. And the more of the power of the Spirit flowing through us, well, guess what? The more love we're going to show to our fellow man. And the only thing we need to show the love of Jesus to other people, whether we're Christians or not, is a focus upon something other than ourselves. There are a lot of unsaved people who love other people. And this is why we can't get hung up on the word love or the actions of love, because if we're honest, we don't know what real love is outside of a saving relationship with Christ. Now, someone might get in an uproar and say, don't tell me I don't love my kids. No, listen, I know you love your kids. You may hate Jesus Christ and deny God's existence and love your child with every fiber of your being. I don't doubt that for a second. But I'm telling you is that true love, real love, only comes from God. The Bible says God is love. Now, this pseudo love that we have towards anybody else outside of God is love, yes, but it's like learning, I don't know, trigonometry. And you may have addition and subtraction and multiplication and division down pat, but you don't know anything about trigonometry. Well, what if you took a class and you learned about trigonometry? Well, now you know addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division like you did before, but now you understand math in a whole new way. And that's what it is when we come to Christ. We understand love in a whole new way. And again, with that love comes power. Acts 1:8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And the Greek word for power is dunamis, where of course we get our word dynamite from, and it just simply means power. And you can find it in literally 115 different verses of the New Testament. William MacDonald once said, "Unlimited strength is at our disposal. Through the enabling of the Holy Spirit, the believer can serve valiantly, endure patiently, suffer triumphantly, and if need be, die gloriously." And we can only do this through that dunamis, through that power of the Holy Spirit. F.B. Meyer once wrote, "It is power. It is His power. It is great power. Nothing less would suffice. It is exceedingly great power beyond the furthest cast of thought." This power we receive from on high through the Holy Spirit is like nothing we could ever imagine. And if your Christian walk doesn't exude this type of power, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, there might be something in your life that is stopping up the flow of this living water to come flow out and through you. I'm not going to read it, but in 2 Peter chapter 1, we read about this power that comes from God. Yes, it's God in us, but we, as Christians, our part to play is that we are exhorted to make every effort to make that conduit as I don't know, conduity as possible. I know it's not a word. Don't judge me. I was never good at math or English or really school for that matter. But I'll tell you, someone who I do like a lot is J. Vernon McGee. And I would do my best impersonation of him, but I'll probably butcher it. But he said once that although it is our business today to get out the word of God, there is no power in us. There is no power in the church, but there is power in the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who moves through an individual or through the church or even a radio program. The question is whether we permit him to do so. And that sums the whole thing up right there, because it isn't that the power isn't available to us. It's not only inside of us, it's inside the churches, it's inside the body of Christ as a whole. It's there, it's like a ripe piece of fruit, and if it doesn't get plucked, nobody gets to eat it. Let me tell you about a time back in 2006, I believe, or 7 or 8. It was, we were living in South Florida, and we got hit by Hurricane Jean, and then Hurricane Francis, I believe the two were. They were literally a week or two apart from each other. And the eye of those storms went right through our little town of Stuart, Florida. And we had lost power during the aftermath of those hurricanes. First time was 11 days, and the second time was 15 days. We were without power. And, you know, there's something strange about waking up in a silent house. You know, there's no humming of a fan. There's no sound coming from the refrigerator as it hums. There's no fan humming next to my nightstand. there's just dead silence. And even though we had no power, we got up in the morning, we still functioned, and we did certain things. But without the power being on, our activities were certainly governed to certain activities. And then when the sun would set, many of those activities that needed light just ceased. In fact, most of the things that I normally did in a normal everyday life routine without power were altered in a major way. Now, my house was still there. My family was still there. Even my job remained when things finally got cleared up. Everything was the same in that respect. But without power, life sure was different at the house. And then that magic day came when power clicked on and everything was restored and everything began working as it should. And friends, this is what we've become as a church nationwide. The body of Christ, for the most part, isn't working like it should be. We have collectively learned how to live without the power being on. And in order for us to fulfill the two greatest commandments, that is to love God and love others, the ones Jesus spoke about, we need to have the power on. And that means we need the Holy Spirit. Well, handsome radio preacher, didn't you just say that we already got the Holy Spirit when we got saved? Oh, we certainly did. It's in there within us. It isn't that we need to gain the Holy Spirit. We need to let the Spirit out. The Spirit within us is crying to be free, looking from the deepest recesses of our soul for an outlet for which it can flow. We've got them all stopped up, and it's just there in the bank, so to speak, with no ability to withdraw. And I believe that all believers who truly accepted Christ have been endowed with God's Holy Spirit. It's more than my belief. It's what the Bible says. And not only that, but you and I have all of the Spirit we will ever have at the time of salvation. And just like a home with no power being delivered to it, even though the walls have the wiring and the outlets are on the walls, without the power being delivered, all the wiring and all the outlets have absolutely no purpose at all. We need the big gauge wires that run from the telephone pole transformer to our meter bank. That's what we need for all that other stuff to work. And so we have the main feed. We just need to turn on the outlets. It's all of our light switches that are off. There's nothing wrong with the power that's coming from the throne of God into the throne of our lives, and that is our hearts. As Christians, we are endowed with that full power. But just like a light won't come on unless you flick the switch, we're not releasing this power. And the church is suffering. And one of the reasons is because we've gotten away from the full, whole counsel of the Word of God. We've gotten away from teaching all of God's Word. We began picking it apart and choosing little pieces here and there, and this is never going to bring forth power. You know, it's funny, when there's a drought, they put restrictions on water. And you know, did you know that the same amount of water that existed at creation is still in the earth today? There's no more or less water that was created. We don't have a drought problem. We don't have a water problem. We have a water displacement problem. And that is that it's not everywhere it should be at all times. And we're not going to get into why deserts are formed and everything. But the point that I'm trying to make is that there's no shortage of the Holy Spirit in your life. There is a displacement crisis. And we need to get back to letting the Spirit flow out from and through us. Can I get an amen for that? All right, well, that does it for this teaching. Join me again tomorrow. We'll pick this back up. If you're in the waiting room, just sit tight. We'll probably have another teaching coming up here in just a moment. And we'll finish looking at verses 11 through 24 of chapter 3. I want to invite you to Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road in Church Hill, Sunday nights at 6 o'clock. And that's when I do my verse-by-verse teaching. Well, hope to see you there. If not, Go to the washandword.com website if you have any questions. Have a good day.